ask, you know, what does God do? If you say, I used to do this in Sunday school. I used to ask all my Sunday school teachers, I know so God is great, but with a little bit of his finger, he can do everything. It's not hard for him. It's not like a big preoccupation, how to run the world. It's not an emergency every day like this temple. So, what does he do with his time? I never thought of it. So, here's the answer. Srila Bhagavatam's answer. That's Krishna. Therefore, greater, therefore, more complete or more full, highest revelation of absolute truth is Krishna, Bhagavan Swayam. I don't know if Jai Baladeva, you guys, just talking about you. So then, the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. But I'm Jai. Sages, Vyasa, Munis, and of the Kavis, I guess Kavi is how you would kind of translate doctor in English, Kavi in Sanskrit. The actual word doctor comes from the Latin, it means learned. You know, like Thomas Aquinas is a doctor of the church. It doesn't mean he got a cure cold, and then he was learned. So they started letting physicians call themselves doctors. The whole thing went to hell, but originally it meant learned it. So among these such persons, great thinkers, Krishna, it's another name for Shukracharya. We understand that, let's see, not to put all these all together, because among priests, Brihaspati, who's the spiritual master of demigods. And then among Kavis, who's Shukracharya, who's the family priest of the demons. So he's got both sides covered here.
The same Shukracharya as the spiritual master of Bali?
Yeah, because Bali was the king of the Daichas, sons of Pipi. Yeah, the same one. Same famous.
Krishna is occupied with his internal potencies,
Yeah.
Are these his qualities?
What?
Internal potencies?
His qualities? No, his internal potencies are, well, different kinds of internal potencies, the chief of which is Srimati Radharani. That's his internal pleasure potency. But that's not just some abstract energy. It's concretely embodied in the form of Srimati Radharani. Yeah. That's what he's busy, what he's really busy is having fun with his devotees in the spiritual world. He's engaged in pastimes of love by which his bliss and their bliss is ever increasing. That's what his real business is. He's the supreme enjoyer. He's not really so ecstatic to come here and make the world and keep it maintained and destroy it at the end. I mean, he does it happily. It's also his pastime. But for him, the real bliss is interacting with the devotees in pure love. This is the prison house that he maintains in the kingdom of God. It's not the happiest place. So he has his own place, his own private gardens, where he really, where there's a party going on, the supreme, transcendental, unending party. Doesn't stop. There are no hangovers. Nobody busts it. And it's all supremely legal. Of course, everybody knew how wonderful Krishna consciousness were, they'd make it illegal. It's like the supreme trick that something is so, you know, straight and moral is also brings such bliss that, you know, you don't associate that with being so full of rectitude. People don't know this.
difference between funnery portions, expansions, and the, what's the other, incarnations.
And what?
Incarnations.
Okay.
You have things like plenary portions and plenary portions, like
Demetari. Yeah. Expansions and plenary portions are the same thing. Plenary means having power. So the expansions of Krishna are just as powerful. They are 100% God. They're none different from Krishna. So they're called plenary portions or expansions. I know, what's the other part? Who else? Incarnations are expansions that appear on the Earth planet or within the material world. Not all incarnations are plenary portions, because some of them are empowered jivas and they're called incarnations, right? And none of the portions are incarnations. Some, there's all the different Vishnu forms with different arrays of symbols in their hands. I do not know that all of them appear in the material world.
All the spiritual planets.
Yeah, all the spiritual planets. Yeah.
Sometimes from reading, I see that a lot of sometimes we'll use expansion, and then also they use incarnation for the same.
Yeah, because sometimes they are the same ones, both an expansion and an incarnation. Sure.
But are plenary portions, can they be less than Krishna? Are they all powerful?
No, they have the same power as Krishna. Although Krishna has certain features and pastimes. Krishna is the only flute player, for example. Krishna is the only one that has rasa dance, for example. So, Krishna is the only cowherd. Boy, for example. So he does certain things. This is described in Nectar Devotion very thoroughly, that there's all the different qualities, and then there's some qualities that are Krishna's, unique to him. But plenary means they are God. They have all the powers of God. They can create, maintain, and destroy universes like that. They're situated in the heart. They know everything. They're omnipresent. They're omnipotent. Everything that you're ever associated with God, that's them. And they're not different from Krishna, although this cannot be understood. How it is that they're not different, how they're one and the same, all these different forms are one and the same, is accepted. This is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead in His variety of manifestations.
What was Lord Chaitanya?
What?
What was Lord Chaitanya in incarnation of?
Neither. He's Bhagavan Swayam. He's Krishna himself coming and taking on the complexion and the emotions, the bodily complexion and the feelings of Radharani.
Where was Radharani at the time?
Gadadhar. Gadadhar is Radharani. That's described. Chaitanya is Krishna. Nityananda is Balaram. Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu. Then Radharani is Gadadhar. And Srivas is Narada Muni. That's the whole Godhead. Krishna, his first expansion, his incarnation, his internal potency, and his marginal potency. That's it. That's everything. Everyone. Panchatattva is the absolute truth in all different manifestations.
So they represent all of those?
They are all of those coming as devotees. Panchatattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhakta avatara bhakta kyam namami bhakta shaktikam. All this bhaktas as devotees. There's Krishna himself in the form of devotees. There's Krishna's expansion in the form. There's Krishna's incarnation, Bhakta Avatara as a devotee, Krishna's internal potency as a devotee, and Krishna's marginal energy as a form of a devotee.
Was his internal potency Lord Jagannath's
No, no. The internal potency, incarnation of Radharani, is Gadadhar. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, playing as Radharani. Taking on the complexion, the golden complexion, Gauranga. Radharani is Gaurangi. Lord Chaitanya is Gauranga. And the mood, the sentiments, the feelings of Radharani.
I'm sure it wasn't complicated between Gadadhar and Lord Chaitanya, but in my mind it's not confusing because Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Radharani, so there were some pastimes that would shed light on how they interacted.
I don't know of anything that I've read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm sure they worked it out.
Swayam
Rupa, or his own form.
I'm sorry, what?
Swayam means one's own. One's own. Or proper itself, Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna himself, or it's us. Himself, its own.
What was Sri Adwaita again? I know what he did, but I forgot what.
Mahavishnu. Bhakta avatar, incarnation of an avatar. It's Purusha avatar. Okay? Or Sri Prabhupada.
Narada.
Narada. Different from the Maharshis, as the Maharshis and the Devarshis. I don't know how they divide these up, but I don't think really about the line categories or not. Among the Gandharvas, Chitrarath, who's the king, and among perfected beings, he is the sage.
Kapila.
Kapila.
Can you explain the different, it seems like there's three different sages being mentioned, and so how are they different, or?
You mean Kapila, Bhrigu, Narada?
Yeah.
I don't know quite how they divide them up. Why are those? Siddhana, perfected beings. Devarshi, I don't know what the difference is between the Devarshis and the Maharshis, when they divide them, these two. Among horses?
Uchaishrava.
Uchaishrava, yeah, not Black Beauty.
Thank you.
Really good thing. Where did Uchaishrava come from?
The churning of the ocean.
The churning of the ocean. Of elephants. Ayurvedanta. India's elephant. Also came out of the same ocean. Like the moon. And among men?
Arjuna.
No.
Kings.
Kings.
Oh,
kings. It's nice in Sanskrit. Naradam naradipa. Naradam naradipa. Arjuna shows up in this list too later on.
What is he about?
I think he's a wielder of weapons. He's Arjuna.
Okay.
See, it's different from generals. No, wielders of weapons, he is Rama. That's right. Oh, well, the Pandavas is Arjuna. Now we're on text 28,
page 539.
Ayudhanam
aham vajram.
Rajas Chasvi Gandharpa.
Pajanaschasvi Gandharpa.
Sarvanamasmi Vasuki.
Sarvanamasmi Vasuki.
Ayudhara of all weapons, I am Vajram, thunderbolt. Deyuna of cows, Asmi, I am Kamaduk, the surly cow. Vajanaha, the cause for begetting children, Cha, and Asmi, I am Gandharva, keeping. Sarvana of serpents, Asmi, I am Vasuki, Vasuki. Translation of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Among cows, I am the surly. Of causes for procreation, I am Gandharva, the god of love. And of serpents, I am Vasuki. Let's read it together.
Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt.
Among cows, I am the surly. Of causes for procreation, I am Gandharva, the god of love. And of servants, I am Vasuki. The thunderbolt, indeed a mighty weapon, represents Krishna's power. In Krishna Loka, in the spiritual sky, there are cows which can be milked at any time, and they give as much milk as mice. Of course, such cows do not exist in this material world. There is mention of them in Krishna Loka. The Lord keeps many such cows, which are called Surabhi. It is stated that the Lord is engaged in herding the Surabhi cows. Gandharva is the sex desire for presenting good sons. Therefore, Gandharva is the representative of Krishna. Sometimes sex is engaged only for sense gratification. Such sex does not represent Krishna, but sex with the generation of good children is called Gandharva and represents Krishna. Thunderbolt weapon is wielded by Indra. We read all about it in Srimad Bhagavatam. How Indra got in a fight with
Are you okay?
I can't remember her name. It's just escaping right now. Anyway, it's a story of Indra. Supposedly a demon, but actually he ended up being the devotee, and Indra ended up being not so much of a devotee. It was produced in a fire sacrifice to kill Indra. And his father made a mistake. Can't remember his name now.
Is he the demon that made the big, huge demon?
Copper fire.
And it killed him. It went back and killed the son. The son wanted revenge for something that.
I can't. Just let me. One of these things that, popped in my head. So. But anyway, there's a story about he swallowed him and then cut his way out. The thunderbolt weapon and cut off his head with it. It was very big and it was very little. Because tomorrow the Vasuki interferes with the right name coming out. Among cows, I am the Surabhi. Krishna attends these cows. Chintamani, Prakrasadmasu, Kalpa Rikshala, Shabritesu, Surabhi, Rapupalayantam. This is Krishna, where he lives, everything he viksha. The trees are called kalpa. Viksha. The trees have given you fruit you want. Like whole produce department by itself. Whatever you want. Surabhi Rabhi Balayanta. He's all hurting me. These cows. Surabhi cows. They give unlimited quantities of milk. Transcendental cows. Lakshmi Sahasra Sambra Sayyamana is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of gopis and lakshmis. The description of Krishna is there like that. Causes of procreation, Gandharva, the god of love, is explained in Serpents and Vasuki. As we'll see in the next verse, there's two kinds of snakes. One is the sarpa, vasuki. The other is the nagas. And so there's two different groups there. So among these serpents, maybe old Gita, there was an illustration of this verse that all these.
According to the
fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lila Svarga, this called subterranean heavenly planets below the Earth's view of these other planets. They're not hellish in the sense that they're not places of punishment, but the demons live there, and also the Nagas. That's where the illumination comes from. They like seem to be a mobile light source. They all have jewels in their heads, and that's what lights everything up. Because it's below the plane of moving the light. Sunlight doesn't reach there. So the light comes from the Nagas. So among these Nagas, of course, the chief is not the couch of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Lying on Ananda, it's coiled on the waters, and Vishnu lying on the bedstead of Ananda Dev. Very mystical thing to be doing. Really amazing. Among aquatics, I'm the demigod Varuna. Okay, Varuna is in charge of water, liquids in general. Among departed ancestors, I am Aryama. He's the head of the Pitchi planet. Prabhupada said, planet of the trees. In the old Gita, it says, there is a planet of trees. This is the person who was transcribing Prabhupada's dictation. If you look at the old one, the previous editions, but it says in this purport, there's a planet of trees. So now I always thought that there was a planet of trees, of which this Arima, who was of departed ancestors, and that's how departed ancestors and trees had something to do with each other, but it turned out to be a transcriber's error. I didn't know what a tree was, I just thought it was a kind of a funny a tree. It's been corrected. And among the dispensers of law, Yama. Arya was mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita and that Bhagavatam for being the person who took over Yamaraj's duties when Yamaraj came to earth incarnated as Vidura. He was cursed to take birth as a Shudra, so he came as Vidura, the uncle of the Pandavas. One of the sons of Dasamudra, maid servant, and half brother to Dhritarashtra, Pandava, Vidura. New question?
Was he on Krishna's side?
Yeah, definitely. So while he was here, while Yamaraj was here, at this Aryabhava, was discharging his duties for success.
What is, when you say non-tasatia, what does tasatia mean?
Ananta means endless. I'm not sure what it means in that context anymore, but I had to look the word up a while ago. Nothing struck me as being particularly revealing in that context.
Was that related to Seisha Prabhu, the
divine? Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on. Text 30. Prahladas chasmi daijanam.
Prahladas chasmi daijanam.
Kala kalayat kalayatam maham.
Kailan kaulan tam maham.
Mriganam chamagendroham.
Mriganam chamagendroham.
Vaina te yascha pakshinam.
Vaina te yascha pakshinam.
Prahlada, Prahlada. Cha oso asmi I am Dejana, the scala of time. Prayatam subdue is aham I am. Mriganam of animals, cha and mriga indra line. Aham I am. Vaidateya garuda, cha oso pakshina of birds. Translation. Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad. Among the subduers, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Let's read it together.
Among the Daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad.
Among subduers, I am time. Among beasts, I am the lion. And among birds, I am Garuda. Purport. Aditi and Aditi are two sisters. The sons of Aditi are called Adityas, and the sons of Diti are called Daityas. All the Adityas are devotees of the Lord, and all of the Daityas are atheistic. Although Prahlad was born in the family of the Daityas, he was a great devotee from his childhood. Because of his devotional service and godly nature, he's considered to be a representative of Krishna. There are many subduing principles, but time wears down all things in the material universe and so represents Krishna. Of many animals, the lion is the most powerful and ferocious, and of 3 billion varieties of birds, Garuda, the very terror of Lord Vishnu, is the greatest. Okay. That's all pretty straightforward. The Daityas, known as the demons, Diti and Aditi. Diti had 2 sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. The sons were the. So that then became the demons. Aditi became the Aditya demigods. This is described in the 3rd canto. So there were among the Daityas some great devotees anyway. Among them, the greatest of them is Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu. Because he happened during the course of a raid on their camp by Indra, Hiranyakashipu's pregnant wife was seized and taken hostage or something like that. So she was being kept with a demigod. She was pregnant, and Narada Muni came and instructed her, and in the womb was the baby Prahlad. Heard everything, came out Krishna conscious. So then Prahlad's grandson was also a famous devotee, even though he was from the Daityas, who was his grandson. Prahlad's grandson. Famous as a devotee, even though he was. Who?
Bali
Maharaj. Among the subduers, I am time. Mrigana, among the Mriga, I am Mrigendra, the king of the Mrigas, the king of the beasts. Everyone knows is the lion. That's some native knowledge has gotten out. Everybody knows the lion is the king of the beasts. And among the birds, of course, Garuda. Any questions? Who is an eagle? Okay, let's go on. Text number 31.
Pavana Pavatamasmi
Rama Shastra Pratam Aham
Rama Shastra Pratam Aham
Jasanam Makaras Chasmi
Jasanam Makaras Chasmi
Srotasam Asmi Janavi
Srotasam Asmi Janavi
Padavarap, the wind, or the Dharma of all that purifies us, me I am. Rama, Rama, Shastabhritam, of the carriers of weapons of whom I am. Jasana, of all fish. Makara, of the shark. Ja, also. Asmi, I am. Shrotasana, of flowing rivers, asmi I am. Janavi, the river Ganges. Translation. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Say it together. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Of all the aquatics, the shark is one of the biggest and is certainly the most dangerous to man, thus the shark represents Krishna. Well, purifiers, I always think of that verse every time there's a nice wind blowing. You see, the wind is purifying. Always appreciated. Rama, the great warrior, to all those who wield weapons, then Rama. The shark. Not specifically a great white shark off of, Cape Cod or whatever.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Anyway, the shark. And the Ganges among rivers, it's clear. Any questions?
I was just thinking when you said about the wind being purifying, that when I was living in New York, the only time you could ever see, the skyline crystal clear was when the huge gusts of wind would come out and blow all the pollution out to sea. Right. And then it'd be really spectacular, but otherwise.
Yeah. It's a night because all these things, there's the wind, or there's a shark, or there's see the Gandhi, you immediately think about this. This is Krishna. All of them are the Ganges. This is quite it's a powerful river. Ganges. Plus, it's pure. Nobody can figure that one out yet. It's just the fact that bacteria don't live in the Ganges. No one knows why. I even read where some guy says he thinks that maybe somewhere it flows over a bed of radioactive material or something that gives them all the life. But this is the fact. Bacteria, people do not get sick. Even in Calcutta, when they bathe in the Ganges, you have all kinds of sewage in, but they don't get up. They don't get sick. It's pure. And the real reason is it flows from the toe of Vishnu. Okay, text number 32. Sarganam adirantascha
Sarganam adirantascha
Madhyam cha vachum Madhyam cha eva hum arjuna
Madhyam cha eva hum arjuna
Adhyatma vidya vidyanam
Adhyatma vidyanam
Vada pravada dhammam
Vada pravada dhammam
Sarjana of all creations, Adi, the beginning, Antara, end, Cha, and Madhyam, middle. Cha also, Eva, certainly, Aham, I am, Arjuna, Arjuna. Adhyatma Vidya, spiritual knowledge. Vijnana of all education. Vada, the natural conclusion. Pravadana, Pravadana of arguments of whom I am. Translation. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle of Arjuna.
Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Let us read it together. Of all creations, I am the beginning, and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth. Among creative manifestations, the first is the creation of the total material elements. As explained before, the cosmic manifestation is created and conducted by Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and Shirodakshayi Vishnu. And then again, it is annihilated by Lord Shiva, Brahma as the secondary creator. All these agents of creation, maintenance, and annihilation are incarnations of the material qualities of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the beginning, the middle, and the end of all creation. For advanced education, there are various kinds of books of knowledge. And such as the four Vedas, their six supplements, the Vedanta Sutra, books of logic, books of religiosity, and the Puranas. So altogether there are 14 divisions of books of education. Of these, the book which presents Adhyatma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, in particular the Vedanta Sutra, represents Krishna. Among logicians, there are different kinds of argument. Supporting one's argument with evidence that also supports the opposing side is called Jalpa. Merely trying to defeat one's opponent is called Hitanda, but the actual conclusion is called Bhat. This conclusive truth is a representation of Krishna. So when there's creation, there's three phases, the beginning, the middle, and the end. So they're specifically in charge of the three qualitative incarnations. That is Brahma, Krishna's incarnation in the mode of passion. Vishnu, Krishna's incarnation in the mode of goodness, in charge of the mode of goodness. And Shiva, Krishna's incarnation in charge of the mode of ignorance. The three modes of material nature. So in the beginning, there's Brahma and the Prajapatis, those patriarchs that he produces and then spread out the population. So in the beginning there's Brahma and the Prajapatis. In the middle there's Lord Vishnu and the saintly kings. And in the end there's Lord Shiva and the atheist full of anger. That's Bhagavatam verse. So there it is, beginning, middle, and end. And it's all Krishna in one's way or another. So wherever you are, beginning, middle, or end, Krishna's there. He represents that. Then, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. So Prabhupada informs us this particularly refers to the books of knowledge of Vedas. And then there are the six supplements.
There are six supplements to the Vedas.
I've never seen six supplements explained before. I can't remember that. One. Two, three, four. Vedanta Sutra, the books of logic, Nyaya. Nyaya is logic. Books of religiosity, that means the Dharma Shastras. Of behavior, like the laws of Manu, the Gautama Shastras, the Puranas, and so on. So, especially the Adhyatma Vidya, knowledge of the soul, that is Vedanta Sutra, the knowledge of spiritual knowledge, really, not just the soul, but the Atma in its broad sense, knowledge of spirit. So that's the highest truth. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is taken to be
Vyasadeva is the compiler of Vedanta Sutra. Krishna says, Vedanta Krit in Bhagavad Gita, I made the Vedanta. I have to make it as Vyasa. He made this Vedanta Sutra. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is his own commentary, the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So that is taken to be of all vidya, of all knowledge. This is I am Adhyatma Vidya. And then there are different, it says here in among logicians, there are kind of technical terms for different kinds of arguments. Jalpa, we have a word for jalpa. Jalpa means you use an argument to support your conclusion, but the same argument supports.
Of letters, Akara, the first letter, Asmi, I am,
dual samasikasya of compounds, cha and aham, I am, eva, certainly, akshaya, eternal, kala, time, data, the creator, aham, I am, vishvatamukha, brahma. Translation. Of letters, I am the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time, and of creators, I am Brahma. Srila Prabhupada's prayer. Let's read it together. Of letters, I am the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time, and of creators, I am Brahma. Prabhupada's purport. Akara, the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, is the beginning of the Vedic literature. Without Akara, nothing can be sounded. Therefore, it is the beginning of sound. In Sanskrit, there are many compound words, of which the dual word, like Ram Krishna, is called Dvandva. In this compound, the words Rama and Krishna have the same form, and therefore the compound is called dual. Among all kinds of killers, time is the ultimate because time kills everything. Time is the representative of Krishna because in due course of time, there will be a great fire and everything will be annihilated. Among the living entities who are creators, Brahma, who has four heads, is the chief. Therefore, he is a representative of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So the description continues. So the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet is begin with the vowels, and so on. The little Gurukula, the kids chant. This kara, the word kara here indicates the syllable A, the syllable A, or the letter A. Also, it's the first part of the syllable OM is composed of A, U, and M. So it's the beginning of the OM kara. Therefore, it is the beginning of sound. It starts with that A. That short A sound, the sound of an unaccented A in English. In fact, all unaccented vowels in English are up. We write that sound, grammatarians, from the linguists, they write the sound like an upside down E. See it in the dictionary, that's called a schwa, and that's up. So that's Krishna. And then in Sanskrit, there are a number of different kinds of compounds. For the letter, you notice where we have, and it's word for word, Brihatsama, Maharishirsha, Vishvatamukha, all these where they're hyphens, those are called compounds. It's a certain way you can do things in Sanskrit. And so all these compounds, one is called the dvanda, or dual compound. And Prabhupada says, they have the same form. In other words, it means that they have the dual compound, Rama, Krishna. It means Rama and Krishna together, Rama, Krishna. We say Radha, Krishna, that's dual compound. It just, you know, it has the same effect as putting an and in there. So the two members are equal. Other kinds of compounds, there's maybe other different relationships between the members, depending on the kind of compound it is, a possessive relationship, and so on. But here it's equal. So it's dual compound. So those are the compounds in Sanskrit, different kinds, he's dual. Among all kinds of killers, just says he is eternal time, akshaya kala. A problem in the purport says, yes, among killers, it's understood that of killers is time.
Does that even happen to Krishna himself, too? Does that happen to Krishna himself?
Does what happen to Krishna himself?
Well, like when he came on this planet, and when he disappeared off the planet, he had to go and follow the rules of time, too, right?
No, he's not subject to the rules of time.
Because he is time.
Yeah, he controls time. There's a difference. In the material world, everybody's controlled by time. In the spiritual world, there's also time, in the sense of their sequence of a sort, but time doesn't have the power to control activities the way it does here. So here he is of all kinds of killers. Time is the ultimate killer, because and then at the end of time, well, not it's not really the end of time, but the time moves in these cycles, and in the fullness of time, the ripeness of time, here there's the annihilation of the whole universe by fire. And so that's Krishna doing that. And that's him. And then Vishvatthamukha Brahma. Vishvatthamukha, another name for Brahma. He has multiple faces. Brahma. Facing in many directions, Vishvatthamukha. Brahma is the chief of creators. He creates subsidiary creators, but he's the empowered to create the universe by Krishna. So among all creators, Brahma is the first. Okay? Any questions? About that? Okay, let's go on. Text number 34. Mrityu sarva harascham.
Mrityu sarva harascham.
Purvascha bhavishyatam.
Purvascha bhavishyatam.
Kirti shrir vachanadinam.
Kirti shrir vachanadinam.
Smitrimeda ditikshama. Death, sarvahara, all devouring, cha also aham I am, utbhava, generation, cha also bhavishyatam, a future manifestations, kirti, fame, shri, opulence or beauty, vak, fine speech, cha also, narinam, of women, smritihi, memory, medha, intelligence, dittihi, firmness, shma, patience. Translation. I am all-devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Let's read this together. I am all-devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As soon as a man is born, he dies at every moment. Thus death is devouring every living entity at every moment. But the last stroke is called death itself. That death is Krishna. As for future development, all living entities undergo six basic changes. They are born. They grow. They remain some time. They reproduce. They dwindle. And finally, they vanish. Of these changes, the first is deliverance from all, from the womb, and that is Krishna. The first generation is the beginning of all future activities. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience, are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them, or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language and therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti, and the ability not only to read many books on different subject matters, but to understand them and apply them when necessary, is intelligence made another opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness, dritti. And one is fully qualified. Yet is humble and gentle, and one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy. He has the opulence called patience, shama. So I am all devouring death. So he says death is devouring at all times, but the final stroke is death itself. So that is Krishna Mitchu Bharas. Mitchu Sarva Bharas Chas Chaham. I am death. And Prabhupada has explained that that is the time. He says that everybody must meet Krishna and everybody must surrender to Krishna. But the non-devotees, Krishna is manifest to them in this form as death, because that's when they offer their obeisances. They will say, there is no God, I'm God, no one can control me, nobody can tell me what to do, I'm not going to bow down to anybody. But at the time of death, their submission to Krishna is made manifest.
Scary?
Yes.
Do you get like fear personified in any sort?
Definitely. So he is dead. And it says here, I am the generation principle of all that is yet to be. Specifically, this refers to birth. What is to be forever living entity in these six transformations? This is the life cycle of a living entity. It is born. He grows. Remains for some time, produces some offspring, dwindles, and dies. So all of these transformations begin with the first one, which is being born. That is the generating principle of all that is yet to be. So this is also Krishna, the first generation, that is the beginning of all future activities. So death and also birth. That's Krishna. And then here these seven virtues are opulences, which are considered to be feminine and gender. Kirti, he explains them. Fame. Fame means being famous as a righteous person, not otherwise. That's glorious. Shri, to have opulence or beauty. Fine speech, especially. There's no fine speech really unless it's in Sanskrit. The word Sanskrit means perfected. So, fine speech. It's the perfect language, he says. Smriti, remember. Medha, intelligence. To not only to gather knowledge from various sources, but to understand it and apply it, and that's been necessary. That's intelligence. Ditti, steadfastness, firmness, steadiness. Shema, patience, that's the ability to tolerance, or patience, that's the ability to be balanced in when there's causes for both rejoicing. There's material, good fortune and bad fortune. You have good days and you have bad days. The days when everything goes your way, you make a lot of money, and there are other days when you lose everything. You'll see, like, for example, pictures of Wall Street. When the market collapses, people look into the abyss. They're totally destroyed. When the market goes up, they're delirious with joy. There's an obvious absence of shama. In shama, you maintain your equilibrium. necessary virtue. When military commanders have this, they function very well. Sometimes a victory, sometimes a defeat, but if your mind is too disturbed, any of these two things, you can't carry on very well. So these are seven. I maybe count them as item number 54, the seven feminine virtues here. Any questions?
Is there supposed to be some relationship between the first half of the verse and the second half? Or is it just Krishna's continuous?
No, I'm just continuing on.
It says the first generation of future activities, meaning first generation.
It means when you're born, is what it means here. Now these changes, he's talking about what is yet to be, right? As far as future development, there's six changes. The first of these changes is birth. That's the generation, first generation is birth, is what it means.
But birth?
Okay. Out of the womb, coming out of the womb.
Okay.
But in darkness out of the womb or in light out of the womb?
You better not say any more tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said a generation means birth. So does that mean these six stages, they definitely don't refer to any inanimate?
No, he's talking about living entities here. This is what the fifth word explains. As for future development, all living entities, what he's talking about. Especially this refers to birth. That's just the way Prabhupada explains it. There's maybe more to it than that, but that's what's in the purport.
But I thought we could also view everything in the material world as like even rocks.
Well, they have to go through six changes, they're living entities. I don't know about your pet rock. There are rocks that are living entities. I don't know if all rocks are living entities, but some rocks are. Prabhupada said they grow. You can measure them again. I don't know much about the biology of rocks, but yeah.
So why are there seven qualities instead of
empty? A grammatical case ending. No, masculine, feminine, neuter.
I think she doesn't. She mean, what is it about those seven qualities that's
mentioned here? I know a woman in ISKCON whose name is Maha Meda. I know a woman named Dhriti. I know a woman named Shema.
Would that be because we're all? I mean, if we're all serving Krishna, then we're all...
That's true. I don't know how it exactly relates to this. Now, obviously, not qualities are restricted to women, because everybody should have them, actually, but they're considered feminine. Okay, number 35. Then you go on. Brihatsamatatasamnam
Brihatsamatatasamnam
Gayatri Chandasamvam
Gayatri Chandasamvam
Masaram Margashirshoham
Masaram Margashirshoham
Ritunam Kusumakaraha
Ritunam
Brihatsama Brihat Sama, Tata also, Samnam, of the Sama Veda songs, Gayatri, the Gayatri hymns, Chandasam, of all poetry, Aham, I am, Mahasanam, of months, Margashirsha, the month of November, December, Aham, I am, Ritunam, of all seasons, Kusuma Akaraha, spring. Translation. Of the hymns and the Samaveda, I am the Brihat Sama, And the poetry, I am the Gayatri of months. I am Madhuga Shirsha, November, December, end of seasons. I am flower bearing spring. Let's read it together. Of the hymns and the song of Veda, I am the brilliant sound. And of poetry, I am the Gayatri. Of months, I am Madhuga Shirsha, November, December, end of seasons. I am flower bearing spring. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It has already been explained by the Lord that amongst all the Vedas, he is the Sama Veda. The Sama Veda is rich with beautiful songs played by the various demigods. One of these songs is the Brihat Sama, which has an exquisite melody and is sung at midnight. In Sanskrit, there are definite rules that regulate poetry. Rhyme and meter are not written whimsically as in much modern poetry. Amongst the regulated poetry, Gayatri Mantra, which is chanted by the duly qualified brahmanas, is the most prominent. The Gayatri Mantra is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Gayatri Mantra is especially meant for God realization, it represents the Supreme Lord. This mantra is meant for spiritually advanced people, and when one attains success in chanting it, he can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. One must first acquire the qualities of the perfectly situated person, the qualities of goodness according to the laws of material nature, in order to chant the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is very important in Vedic civilization and is considered to be the sound incarnation of Brahma. Brahma is its initiator and is passed down from him in disciplic succession. The month of November, December is considered the best of all months. Because in India, grains are collected from the fields at that time, this time, and the people become very happy. Of course, spring is a season universally liked because it is neither too hot nor too cold, and the flowers and trees blossom and flourish. In spring, there are also many ceremonies commemorating Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, this is considered to be the most joyful of all seasons, and it is the representative of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So what is there to say about this? So, among the Vedas, I am the Sama Vedas, and of the hymns of the Sama Vedas, the Brihat Sama. Beautiful song, sung at midnight. Among verse meter forms, forms of meter, Gayatri, it's very regulated. Gayatri has to have 24 and a half syllables. That's one qualification I remember hearing about. And it said the Gayatri Mantra is chanted by Brahmanas, very powerful spiritual mantra. It says if you can chant it properly, you can enter into the transcendental position of the Lord. It requires that one be situated in the mode of goodness. Properly chant this Gayatri Mantra. So it's sound incarnation of Brahman. And therefore, since it's meant for spiritually advanced people, it's very, very prominent. And therefore, it represents Krishna, this Gayatri. Of months, I am Marga Shirsha, as Prabhupada explains, November, December. It means in a tropical climate, it's harvest, month of harvest. And of seasons, flower bearing spring. Everybody likes spring, no need to explain. Explain too much about that. It's very nice, many Krishna festivals in the springtime. Any questions about that? Okay. 36. Dyutam chalayatam asmi Tejas tejas vinam aham Jayo Jarasayosmi.
Jarasayosmi. Jarasayosmi.
Sattvam sattvavatam.
Sattvam sattvavatam.
Dutam gambling. Chalayata. All cheats. Asmi I am. Tejaha, the splendor. Tejasvinam, very being splendid. Aham, I am. Jaya, victory. Asmi, I am. Vyavasaya, enterprise or adventure. Asmi, I am. Sattvam, the strength. Sattvavatam, of the strong. Aham, I am. Translation. I am also the gambling of cheats. Of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am victory, I am adventure, and I am the strength of the strong. Let's read it together. I am also the gambling of cheats, and of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am victory, I am adventure, and I am the strength of the strong. Purport. There are many kinds of cheaters all over the universe. Of all cheating processes, gambling stands supreme and therefore represents Krishna. As the supreme, Krishna can be more deceitful than any mere man. If Krishna chooses to deceive a person, no one can surpass him in his deceit. His greatness is not simply one-sided, it is all-sided. Among the victorious, he is victory. He is the splendor of the splendid. Among the enterprising and industrious, he is the most enterprising, the most industrious. Among adventurers, he is the most adventurous, and among the strong, he is the strongest. When Krishna was present on earth, no one could surpass him in strength. Even in his childhood, he lifted Govardhan Hill. No one can surpass him in cheating. No one can surpass him in splendor. No one can surpass him in victory. No one can surpass him in enterprise. And no one can surpass him in strength. So this is how we understand this. Here you see these qualities, that there is cheating going on, that there is splendor in the world, that there is victory, that there is adventure, there is enterprise, there is strength. Well, where the real strength, where all these qualities abide in full, incredible manifestation in Krishna. And when you see it here, you can understand that that's a little spark of Krishna's splendor. Because these things excite admiration. And a devotee, when he sees somebody, because naturally, when you see him, when you see victory, when you see something splendid, when you see strength, when you see somebody exhibit some wonderful quality or talent or ability, then naturally you feel there's an element of awe and respect and honor. But a devotee immediately thinks that our Krishna is the repository of these things. And that what any ability that we have, that is there, any of these opulences, they're endowed upon a person by Krishna. He is the reservoir of all these things. So if I have anything, if I have the ability of memory or to find speech, or to bring off victory, or whatever qualities that are there, that are great, admirable, worthy, it's because actually Krishna has given me a little fragment of this opulence of his. So when we see these prodigious things, we automatically think, oh, as you can see it here, a little bit of it, how much greater is it there in Krishna? And for directly appreciating Krishna, there's, he came and performed his pastimes here, so you can see. On a relative scale. Of course, Krishna is so strong that he's keeping all the planets floating in air, holding up that huge weight. And Prabhupada said, not like Atlas, you know, struggling with veins bulging and everything like that. just effortlessly. He's floating these big planets. So you think, well, there's no big thing about us lifting Gopher downhill. After all, he's God. But if he comes down, sort of puts himself in a bit of a human framework, then you can appreciate a little bit just how much bigger he is, greater he is in that score. So these things, it's all goes to show what Prabhupada has said, that the devotee just sees Krishna everywhere. Everything reminds the devotee of Krishna. You see death, there is Krishna. You see birth, there is Krishna. Anything you see is Krishna. Next time you go to Atlantic City, you see all that gambling, there's Krishna. Of course, that's not a bona fide way of worship. You think, well, if it's Krishna, I can do it. It doesn't work that way. Because he says, Krishna wants to deceive a person. And he does deceive people, actually. He cheats people. Because they are cheaters. When somebody is a cheater, they themselves get cheated by Krishna. He tricks them. That's just the general principle of cheaters anyway. You know, like for example, if you're a con artist and you got the proverbial game of selling the Brooklyn Bridge to somebody, and the man can say, man, I gave him $100, he gave me a deed to this bridge and it's fake. What kind of a person is that who thinks he's going to buy the Brooklyn Bridge for $100, right? A cheater. Everybody knows you can't. The guy says, I'm going to give you a deal, this is special, don't tell anybody about this. That's why that great, con artist said that he never cheated anyone who didn't deserve it. So Krishna, the same way, people say, they're cheaters. They say, yes, I want to be spiritually advanced. I want to become God. I want to be able to control the universe. But oh, it's a drag to follow any regulative principles or anything like that. What do I do? So some little guy comes up from India and says, come unto me. Give me your $320. I'll give you this mantra and you chant. And that's all there is to it. It's very beautiful. So the cheaters, they're being cheated. And that's Krishna's arrangement. That's Krishna's arrangement. That's how it works.
How about the subtle cheating, like when you're not totally a conscious person, you do things out of ignorance. When you think you're doing something, or at least at a conscious level, you think you're doing something for the correct reason. Is that the same kind of payback?
Well, in that case, a person may be mixed. So Krishna always gives somebody the chance. But these things come revealed in the course of time, because obviously sometimes, but it's a lesson. If you get cheated like this, then maybe you learn not to be a cheater. So of course, that's the ultimate cheating that we do. We're not honest with ourselves sometimes like that. But so we have to be careful. Sometimes that's there. Not to want something from nothing. Want spiritual advancement, not bathing, not become free from sense gratification. That's one big cheating process, of course. People are. That's so many ways of doing things, but have to be careful. But if a person's heart is sincere and serious. But you have to say that you see so many people are being misled. That's the tendency is there. That not for nothing. Because sometimes you wonder how heck, you know, some all these things, you know, these scams. So they're wanting like that. So we just have to make sure we ourselves are free from tendencies toward cheating and duplicity. Simplicity, straightforwardness is the first qualification of a devotee. Okay, we have time to do one more verse. 37. Rishinam Vasudevosmi.
Rishinam Vasudevosmi.
Pandavanam Dhananjaya.
Pandavanam Dhananjaya.
Muninam Apyaham Vyasa.
Muninam Apyaham Vyasa.
Kavinam Ushanakavih.
Kavinam Ushanakavih.
Rishinam of the descendants of Vishni Vasudeva. Krishna in Dwarka. Asmi, I am Pandavana of the Pandavas. Dhananjaya, Arjuna. Muninam of the sages. Api also, I am Vyasa. Vyasa, the compiler of all Vedic literature. Kavinam of all great thinkers. Ushana, Kavi, the thinker. Translation of the descendants of Vishnu, I am Vasudeva, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasa, and among great thinkers, I am Ushana. Let's read it together. Of the descendants of Vishnu, I am Vasudeva, and of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyasa. And among great thinkers, I am Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Baladeva is Krishna's immediate expansion. Both Lord Krishna and Baladeva appeared as the sons of Vasudeva, so both of them may be called Vasudeva. From another point of view, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, all the forms of Krishna that appear elsewhere are his expansions. Vasudeva is Krishna's immediate expansion, so Vasudeva is not different from Krishna. It is to be understood that the Vasudeva referred to in this verse of Bhagavad Gita is Baladeva or Balaram, because he is the original source of all incarnations, and thus he is the sole source of Vasudeva. The immediate expansions of the Lord are called svamshas, personal expansions. And there are also expansions called vibhinnamsha, separated expansions. Amongst the sons of Pandu, Arjuna is famous as Dhananjaya. He is the best of men and therefore represents Krishna. Among the munis or learned men conversant in Vedic knowledge, Vyasa is the greatest, because he explained Vedic knowledge in many different ways for the understanding of the common mass of people in this age of Kali. And Vyasa is also known as an incarnation of Krishna, therefore Vyasa also represents Krishna. Kavis are those who are capable of thinking thoroughly on any subject matter. Among the Kavis, Ushana Shukracharya was the spiritual master of the demons. He was an extremely intelligent and far-seeing politician. Thus, Shukracharya is another representative of the opulence of Krishna. So, Vasudeva, as it says here, represents Krishna in Dwarka. Prabhupada explained to you a little bit about this Vasudeva, this word. It means son of Vasudeva. Krishna's father is Vasudeva. So, by Sanskrit grammar, you Vasudeva, son of Vasudeva, by lengthening the A. So it also that can refer to Balaram, and then Vasudeva is also the name of expansion of Krishna. Any form of Krishna outside of Vrindavan is an expansion. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So when there's Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna in Mathura, Krishna, Kurukshetra, these are actually being done by expansions of Krishna, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So the first of all expansions is Baladeva, Svamsa, personal expansions. Vibhanamsa means the living entities are separated. Expansions. But these are the Krishna, Balaram, then from Balaram, Shankarshan, then from them, Vasudev, Aniruddha, Arjuna, second Shankarshan. So there's a whole description of how different expansions of Vishnu, Tattva, all in the category of Vishnu. You can just say these are just different aspects or facets of Krishna or different manifestations of Krishna for different specialized functions. Just like Mahavishnu, specialized function. So there's a description of these expansions in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the incarnations, Ramachandra, Lord Boar, Lord Tortoise, Lord Fish, all different types of incarnations and expansions. And then it says, Ete Chamsa Kalapun San Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. All these are amsha or kala. They are either expansions of Krishna, expansions or expansions of expansions, but Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Krishna is like the first candle from which all of the candles are lit. And so he's Bhagavan Swayam. Sometimes you find many Indians, they'll believe that Vishnu is the Lord, and Krishna is his incarnation of Vishnu. Well, that's not what the texts say. The texts say that Krishna is the original, and that Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. Of course, Vishnu is the Lord of the universe. It's a fact. That's his business to maintain, take care of this universe. He's what you commonly call God. The Lord, in connection with the running of the material energy, is as far as anybody knows in the West as God.